started this evening. Joe, did you look and turn to page 368? 368. Let's just go ahead and get all four verses of that there.
Oh, precious is the Oh, well, it's John.
I think it's John 14. Yeah, my father's house in Main Mansion. I was looking up that word, and interestingly, you know, the way we use the word mansion nowadays, it has to do with the size of the house. You know, if it's a real big house, it's a mansion, and if it's not a real big house, it's not a mansion. And there's a line somewhere that you subjectively draw that makes something a mansion or not a mansion. But the original use of that word had more to do with who lived in it. It was the idea, you think about a plantation, you know, where you may have many houses on that plantation, but most of those houses were slaves' quarters. But then there was the big house, you know, is how they say it in some of the old movies and the books and stuff. That's where the master lives. That is what made it the mansion. It wasn't that it was of a particular size, but it was because that ain't servants' quarters there. That's where the family lives. That's where the father lives. That's where the son lives. Amen. Right? And yeah. So I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. You know, the Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs of Christ.
Amen.
And now we're on the one hand, the Bible says that in heaven, you know, the servant is going to be the greatest of all. But at the same time, he talks about, in terms of our relationship to the Father, he said, the servant abideth not ever, but the son abideth ever.
Right.
And whomsoever therefore the son maketh free, he is free indeed.
Yes.
So what is the Bible saying there? We ain't going to be living in the servant's quarters in heaven. Each one of us is going to get to live in the big house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So man, when I realized that was a blessing,
just
looking up that word, you know. So I appreciate what the Lord has given us to look forward to, and appreciate Him letting us be in His house this evening. And you know, it's nice and warm and dry in here, regardless of how it is outside.
Yeah.
I try to always remember to be thankful for that, because it's so easy to take for granted. And yet at the same time, if you really think about it, it could be gone tomorrow.
Right.
Really, it could. So I'm really thankful for the comfortable place that the Lord has given us to come worship. He has removed every excuse that we have. You know, I know I didn't walk here. I don't know if anybody else did. Nobody looked that wet, you know. Had a good vehicle to get here in.
Amen.
It's got heat in it. It's got working windshield wipers on it. I mean, you know what I mean? So, I mean, the Lord has blessed us.
Amen.
And that's one thing, and all of us as parents, I know we all struggle with this, trying to get our kids to appreciate what it is that they have, because they're really, especially when they're younger, they're really not they're not capable of comprehending how it could be, because they have no experience with it, and they haven't seen it. But as adults, we can be guilty of doing the same thing if we are not careful. So trying to just make ourselves realize what it is that God has blessed us with. And I do appreciate it so much. I do appreciate the Lord giving us the opportunity to go vote yesterday. Some of it, you know, some of it didn't go exactly the way we wanted it to, but some of it really did. So, you know, just pray that God would take whoever, and granted, this is the primary now, right? I mean, we still got the election up in November. It's going to decide who actually gets in office. But in each one of those offices, we need to be careful that we pray that regardless of who gets in there, that God will work on the heart of that one. God can change anybody's heart. I mean, we know that. He proved that over and over again in the scriptures. And even when there's somebody in power that's just absolutely wicked, God can turn that to cause His plan to come about. What did He do with Pharaoh?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, we may be in bad shape, but we ain't quite got Pharaoh.
Right.
You know? So, and God made Pharaoh, but put him in that place to do his bidding. So, that's the most important thing is praying that God's will be done,
right,
and being faithful in the stewardship that He has called us to. But thank the Lord for that opportunity, because that's another thing that we have to realize, that in this country we have the privilege of electing our leaders, and every election that we take part in very well could be the last that we have the opportunity to take part in. Oh, sure, they have elections in Russia, but do you think anybody's going besides Mr. Putin? You know, right? So, you know, I just appreciate the privilege that God gives us in this nation. I know it was dearly bought, and it was a part of God's plan. So, again, just pray that God's will be done. Just pray that as a nation we would repent and turn from the wicked ways that they were taking part in, that we'll have revival, because that's the only way our nation is going to get fixed, is for that revival to come. Remember our meeting that we're having here. You know, for all we know, revival may start with that meeting here at Shady Grove Baptist Church. We don't know that. Every revival there's ever been has started somewhere in a local assembly. We never know what God's going to do if we just give Him room to do it.
Amen.
And that's a lot of times what we struggle with. It's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
Like you talk about, we have this sense of self-preservation. night and go, God, just don't mess with what I got going on here because I kind of like it. But that's the way we are. We don't, you know, the spirit don't want to be that way.
Amen.
But Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Right.
It's hard to set aside that flesh. It is so hard. And, you know, when preachers are preaching about it, you're reading in the Bible, you're going, Oh, see, you know, it's easy then, ain't it? Then we get out there and we go, ooh. You know what I mean? So, yeah, just be much in prayer about that. Pray for Preacher Curtis Presnell that God would use him. Pray that we would be prepared to receive it. It's going to be here before we know it. Who else has got a request of prayer this evening? By lifting in. Amen. And I'm sure you're saying that Preacher Billy had his tooth pulled this evening. He was kind of, he was hurting pretty good. And Miss Vivian's got her surgery tomorrow to have her, they call it neural stimulator? Whatever, nerve stimulator, put in her back there. So be much in prayer for that surgery. Have you heard anything from Robert the past few days?
I have not.
Okay.
Dale was supposed to have surgery today, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
How did it form? It was banged as far as the nose goes. We were talking about there after the meeting.
Okay.
She did a text me this morning. He was good. He was asleep. He was out. They gave him the children's dose of anesthesia. So.
Yeah. I mean, if he ain't had it much.
Yeah, he don't even take Tylenol, so he does him pretty good.
Appreciate the Lord moving on that. Yeah, I remember when I had my wisdom teeth cut out, I only ever took a whole purpose at once. After that, I was taking them a half at a time, and I don't think I took but five total of them because I had never had a narcotic pain pill in my whole life. And so I took that whole one, and I was sitting there, you know. I was done. I definitely wasn't going to, I thought I was going to work on the computer for a little bit and take my mind off things. Well, I don't know, my mind was pretty well off already, so wasn't much to do but good bed. So I know what Dale's running into there. If your body has no immunity to that stuff, that you know it affects you. So, but yeah, we appreciate the Lord moving on that. I'm trying to think anybody else that's had surgery.
Jeannie had texted earlier. Did she text you? Yeah, she texted her and said that the machine had hurt her back. They had her at the hospital and preached her opposite for her. I think Sarah went to go get the kids from school, and this was earlier in the day. And so she said her 2:30.
And then at 4:30, I texted her a little bit before we got here. She said about 4:30 they started her IV, but they haven't. She hasn't. Jeannie's at work, so she said I haven't heard anything else right now. So I told her we'd be praying for her.
Okay. And remember this, I know Miss Sheehy's had problems with the back on and off for, I don't know, a long time.
Mm-hmm. Derek said that they're still at the hospital down there. Said that so far they're all doing good. I told him if he got a chance later to call me, and he never did. So I'm assuming that they just, you know, spending time with each other. Maybe that I told him it wasn't a rush or nothing. I said that just wanted to get a chance. But he said they were all good. He said everything's going good so far, but they still have to give them, he said they haven't given them any date yet as to when they can leave and come home. So just keep praying for them. You know, I know that Connie had mentioned that, you know, it wasn't able to leave, but 35% on its own or something like that. And so I guess it's not able to create suction.
Right.
It's got a, you know, cleft lip. So just pray for them. I don't know, you know, I know the Lord's able to take care of that. Obviously, they anticipate that if they're to work with the baby enough, that she'll be able to eat on her own.
Right.
You know, so it's just going to take time. Let's pray for them, give them patience. I know that's got to be a trying time for them as well, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's better they get it sorted out now than have to go and come back, you know.
Yeah.
And so just pray for them, give them patience, give them comfort, and take care of that.
Amen. Amen. Remember this.
And if you will remember the Vinard family, it's my director at CC. Her name's Amanda Brumley. It's one of her, it's a friend, but they're so close that they're like family. Her son was killed yesterday. He's 15. He got hit by a transfer truck. He built like a makeshift skateboard. And was going down the driveway, couldn't get stopped.
brought the baby to CC today for a little bit.
Oh, I see.
She's doing good.
Yes, good to see you.
That's the first I've heard that, you know, Wednesdays. Y'all know how it is on Wednesdays. You know, from work, and they get home from homeschool group, and, you know, and then somehow we just, I feel like I just appear here, you know. It's all a blur in between, so sometimes I find out stuff when I get here. But praise the Lord for that.
Remember, we're standing you and the baby.
Yeah, amen. Please do.
Amen.
My sister had her biopsy yesterday. They weren't able to do all the, they got three out of the four biopsy, but she was bleeding and they couldn't continue with it. So, but she hopefully should know something in a day or so.
Okay.
About her results.
Amen. Remember this. All right, that's all the business. I'll come to this.
I don't know when it comes to dates and all that kind of stuff, you know,
I don't think about that until it's, you know, time to go. She would have stepped where I'm supposed to go, then I'm supposed to be there. In any case, I'm glad somebody keeps up with it. But he said he's excited.
Amen.
He said he's excited, said he's afraid about it. And said the Lord already laid some things on his heart to be preaching.
Amen.
And he said, you know, don't always happen that way.
Right.
He said, sometimes you don't know what you're going to preach the first night till the night you get there. You don't know what you're going to preach the second night till you get there. And he said, and in a meeting there and preaching in general, sometimes it's like that. But sometimes the good Lord understands how broken we are in our patience and in our faith, to be honest.
Yeah.
And he'll go ahead and give us something that we can be chewing on and have our hearts prepared. And I thank God for that. And he said that he had something the Lord already laid on his heart.
Yeah.
He said, I'll tell you, look, I said, no, don't tell me about it, just preach it to me.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want to hear it now. I said, you preach it now, you'll go and preach it then. I don't know, you ever done that? You ever had a message in your heart and you're telling somebody about it and you're about to just get to preaching it, then you can't preach it when it's time to preach it and you feel like you missed it. I've done that, but God's sovereign, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, amen.
All that was me missing. I was supposed to preach to that person, not to a church.
Oh.
You know, but in any case, I'm glad God's good.
Yeah, amen.
He gives us what we need.
Yeah.
Ain't always what we want, but it's what we need.
Yeah.
If we'll take it, it'll make us happier than what we want. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
I didn't get to go through, I can't remember all the election results, but we had some pretty good results in Burke County. But the thing I was excited most about is Johnny Carswell's act.
Yeah.
He is. And I'm tickled to death about that. I want to go tell you, but I ain't going to do that. That'd just be maybe a church if I did. But, you know, that's just the flesh. That's the way it thinks. That's the way it operates.
Yeah.
In any case, seemed like I had something else I was going to say. What else was it, honey? Is there anything else I was going to say? I don't reckon so. Then we got a special song we're going to sing before we get started. Amen. I got a question for y'all. Do y'all plan this, or do y'all just see one another get up and y'all just come together?
We plan this.
Okay. That's good. Either way, it's good.
Yeah.
us who sing and shout the victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Question through here. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. I'm gonna do it. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. When we all get to heaven.
Hey, sir.
Richard Matthew was talking about heaven. They're singing about heaven. You know, I was thinking about heaven. And so I was thinking, you know, that place ain't gonna be, I don't believe it'll be a very small place.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the earth is its footstool. Mm-hmm. Now, if the earth's a footstool, I mean, could you imagine the vastness? And you know, it's called a city. We think of it being a city. And I don't think it's going to be a city like what we picture. I don't like cities.
Right.
Matter of fact, the way the man builds them, if you read the Bible, the way that he deals with things, I don't think he likes cities. He don't. You know, he talks about, what is it, in Isaiah chapter 6, woe to them that build house upon house, there'll be no space left for them. He does. He talks about, you know, whenever that the Tower of Babel was built, said the people are one, their language is one, this began to disperse them. He don't like people wadding up together. And there, he gives instruction throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that, to spread out. He's like, I made a big area for you. Go find you a place.
Yeah.
He called Abraham out of the land. He said, listen, don't stay there that fast. He said, come on. Abraham told his nephew, he said, look, the land's big enough for both of us. He said, you find you a place, I can find me a place. And you see that as a pattern, you know, throughout the Word of God. So in any case, but I don't like cities the way that cities are. I'll do anything to avoid driving through Charlotte. I've never been to Atlanta, Georgia, but I've heard people talk about it, and I've had nightmares. I don't like cities. I hear people talk about going on vacation, I'm going to New York City. I'm like, man, I don't know if you can pay me. You know, I don't know what it cost you. I mean, there's probably a number on that. I'd probably go, but I don't know what it cost you to get me to go there. But in any case, I don't care much for cities, but that city, it talks about that city that has eternal life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a city like what we think of. I don't think it's going to be no traffic. I don't think there's going to be nobody. I know there ain't going to be nobody getting mugged.
Right.
There ain't going to be no homeless people.
Nope.
There ain't going to be no drug problem.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's a city I want to enjoy. Yeah. Amen. I believe we're all going to be able to enjoy. I know that for a fact because the Word of God tells us so. Yeah. I know this. He's never lied to me.
Right.
And I know this. It's going to be better than you and I could imagine. Yeah. I can begin to try to describe it. And we can go into all kinds of trains of thought of how that it could be and would be and should be. And all those things are good. And they're good to think on. The Bible tells us to think on whatsoever things are pure and whatsoever things are true. Anything that will give us hope, those are things that we should think on.
Yeah,
but
amen.
At the same time, I'm going to tell you this. This is what I know for sure about heaven. It'll be better than you can imagine.
Amen.
That's where we're headed. Amen. Like that one song says, what a day that will be.
Yeah.
We've been going through the times that Jesus appears here in the Old Testament. The scarlet thread of redemption, if you will. Some's called it that. And tonight, we want to look at the tabernacle. And we'll begin here in Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus chapter number 25. When you find your places, if you would, stand with me. We find here that Moses is up on the mountain, God's speaking to him, and the tablets are being written. And we see here that God gives special instruction for the tabernacle. Now, I'm not going to read all of this, but we'll read a little into this. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 25, in verse number 1, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering, every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. And this is the offering which he shall take of them, gold, and silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. God, that you'd give us understanding, wisdom in your word tonight. Give us discernment in our own lives, God, that we may receive your order. Lord, that you may instruct us in the way. God, that you bring structure to our lives and the pattern that you have us to follow. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He's talking here. God's talking here to Moses. And he tells him that he wants him to build him a dwelling place. And if you'll notice, I paused there at verse 8 before I went on to read verse 9. And if you would just imagine, if he just stopped there at verse number 8, he says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That word dwell means to inhabit. Means much the same as the word tabernacle means. It means a habitation. It could mean a tent. It could mean a place that's movable. It could mean a place that is asphyxiated. But nevertheless, it means a habitation. That word dwell means to inhabit. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Yeah. That means that he is there present among right. The praises of his people. But he doesn't just stop there at verse number 8 and say, just make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. But he says, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. We see that God here has special instructions for his tabernacle. Amen. We see that there's a certain pattern that he wants Moses to follow, not only for the building, but for the ark, especially, and also even for the furniture that's going to be in there. And now all of it has significance, and we could go through this and we could talk about the significance of the candlestick that has the seven candles and its relationship to the New Testament churches and, the seven candlesticks and the seven spirits of the church and, so on and so forth. And there's that. And we could talk about the cherubs and how they cover the ark. There's one on either side and they're over the mercy seat and they're there protecting the glory of God. The glory of God is manifested there at the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. And we can talk about how that's in relation going all the way back to the garden when God set the cherubs over to keep watch over the garden to keep the way of the tree of life so that man who was sinful, could not just go and take it for himself. And we see all these different patterns. And we see how that the gold was overlaid on the instruments, and it was overlaid on the ark, and there was much gold used. And that wasn't just because God wanted to look dressed up and look like some kind of, hip guy. It's because that gold represents purification. Yeah. And it represents something that's pure, something that's that has majesty, something that has a rule and sovereignty. And so he puts gold on it. Let's just read some of this. Now, I want us to notice something here. This is going to be something that on a Wednesday night, here this first little bit I'm going to read, it's going to want to put you to sleep. But I'm just going to read through some things, and I'm going to try to just read quickly just to give you an idea of the design and the pattern and the intricacy of God's design for the tabernacle.
Now, this goes through from chapter 25 all the way to chapter 31. And I'm not going to read from 25 to 31. But I'm going to go through and I'm just going to skip by. And I don't have anything highlighted in particular. I'm just going to read so that you can see how that God has a particular order. He starts out talking about how they should make an ark in verse 10. And he tells, look at verse chapter 25, verse 10. It says, make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. Now shall overlay it with pure gold within and without. Thou shalt overlay it, and shall make it on it a crown of gold round about. Now shall cast 4 rings of gold for it. Put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. Now shall make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. Now shall put the staves onto the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. That way they could carry it. You'll notice that as a pattern going on. And he talks about in verse 17, the mercy seat, making of pure gold. He tells the size of it. And he says in verse 18, that thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, beaten work shall bring them, and the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And he goes on into the tabernacle. He says how that in verse 23, he says, they shall also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits shall the length thereof be, and 1 cubit and the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half of the height thereof. He's given the measurements exactly how big that he wants this thing, the size and the dimensions of it. And he says in thou, verse 24, thou shalt overlay it with gold, and make thereunto a crown of gold round about. Thou shalt make it to a border, a hand breadth round about. Thou shalt make a golden crown with the border thereof round about. And he goes on and he talks more about the candlesticks in verse 31. He talks about the candlestick. And he goes on talking about the tabernacle in verse 26 and how that they make curtains and the curtains and the heights of what they should make them of in chapter 26. And he talks about the coverings that there should be over the tables and over different things. And he talks about the outside in verse number 26 of chapter 26 and what should be standing up on. He says, and thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle and 5 bars for the boards of the other side. And he goes on. And he talks about in chapter 27, the brazen altar and how big it should be. And he goes on for verse after verse talking about it. And I'm not even getting all the things, the veils that they made and everything else. And then he talks about in chapter 28, the priests that'll be in there. And he talks about the garments that they should wear and what the materials they should be made of and how that they should make the ephod, the shoulder piece, and the breastplate that they would wear. And he talks about the Urim and the Thummim. And he talks about the robe of the ephod that hangs down off the shoulder of the priest. He talks about all these things. And he goes on into chapter 29. And he talks about how to consecrate the priest and the order for the high priesthood. And he talks about the order for the sacrifices. And we've talked about that before. We'll probably talk about that again there in chapter 29. And he talks about in chapter 30 of the altar of incense. And he says, thou shalt make an altar of burnt incense upon of shittim wood shall thou make it. And 1 cubit shall be the length thereof. This is chapter 30 and verse 2. 1 cubit shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof. 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall the height thereof. The horns shall be of the same. Now shall overlay it with pure gold. Do you see a pattern here? Are you following me? Like I said, I can't go over all these things tonight. I just want you to get an idea. And then he goes on to talk about who comes in to worship. And he talks about the workmen in chapter number 31, the people that he sought out to build these things. And he has all these things in order. And then, in chapter 32, Moses comes down from the mountain. But we're not going to get to that point yet. But going back here to chapter 25, like I said, we see what I'm talking about, I hope, by now.
Yeah.
That he has a very detailed instruction for how to build a tabernacle. I mean, how many times do you read in there, this many cubits and that many cubits, and you use the sheet of wood, and you make staves, and you make bars, and you carve it out this way, and you make gold, and you overlay it with gold, and over and over and over you see this. And he's got a very specific instruction. He's got a very specific order. And he's got a very specific structure to the way that this is to be done. Because God is a God of order. He's a God of structure.
Yeah.
He's not the author of confusion.
That's right.
He's not a God of disorder. Amen? He is a God of order. So imagine now, if you would, if I were to stop there in verse number 8 of chapter 25, and what if it just stopped there and did not continue on for the next 6 chapters explaining what he meant? If he was to just say what he said there in verse 8, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. What do you think they'd have come up with? What do you think? That I imagine that they'd have a set of drums up there, and that there'd be some flashing lights and a disco ball, I don't know. There'd be people pulling their shirts off and dancing and going on. Because you know what, that stuff goes on today when people don't believe God's got order for their lives. This come as you are, leave the way you come kind of worship, that ain't biblical.
Yeah.
That ain't worship at all. Amen. They said, well, you know, they said, well, you know, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. Praise God, me too.
Yeah.
But praise be to God, when the Holy Ghost came into my heart, there's a transformation took place. Amen. Yeah. Bible said, them that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof of such turn away.
Yeah.
It said, why? Because they're the kind that creep into houses. Amen. They're the kind that lead away women, led away with divers lust and the temptation. And it's not just women, men, and all, everybody else. I'm just using that for example. The Word of God was when it said that over there in Timothy. But praise be to God. They said to deny those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof of such turn away.
Yeah.
We live in a day and time when the best words of the Bible, more people know than anything. What do you think it is? John 3:16? Nope. Used to be maybe in America at one time. Judge not lest ye be judged.
Yeah.
But remember, when he's talking about judging, he's talking about we're not supposed to decide who's worthy of heaven and hell.
That's right.
That's not us. That's not our place. Yeah. All judgment is reserved for God, who was giving it to his son.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us, however, to use discernment.
Yeah.
Which is what the world calls judging.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, if I'm to say to somebody, you know, because you were dressed this way, because you talk this way, mm-hmm. you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Well, it's one thing if I tell them that, but I also give them the gospel. And let them know that Jesus loves them and he wants to save them. But, you know, if I just done it just for the sake of just, you know, trying to rub something in their eye, then that would be wrong. That would not be biblical.
Yeah.
But if I look at somebody and I see the way they dress and hear the way they talk, and I discern that they must not know the Lord.
Right.
And I go to them and I tell them, hey, listen, do you know that the judgment of God is real? Do you know that we all must face it one day? But do you know that he loves you and wants to save you from your sins? They'll listen to you get to that part right there. Wants to save you from your sins. Mm-hmm. Well, they might have a different definition of sin than you and I do. That's what they tell you. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that the Word of God is not subjective.
Right, amen.
It's objective.
Yeah.
Meaning that my feelings about it do not change the Word of God.
Amen.
But the Word of God can change me. Amen. A lot of people today, they want to take the Word of God, and they want to align it to, they want to interpret it, they want to twist it till it fits their lives, and they can have a version of Christianity, they can have a version of a walk with Christ that they're comfortable with. Hey, I want to tell you right now, God is not concerned with whether or not you're comfortable in your skin. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we ought to not be comfortable in the flesh. The Bible says that the flesh is always at war with the Spirit.
Right.
That's why much study is weariness to the flesh. It ain't no wonder we don't like to sit and read our Bibles all the time, because the Word of God, it pierces like a two-edged sword, and it makes that flesh uncomfortable. Hey, I want to tell you, that's why we ought to have discipline in our lives. There ought to be order in our lives. There ought to be structure in our lives, because God has a purpose and a structure and a
Amen.
He said, I let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, that I may inhabit them. He said, but this place has got to be fit for me. He said, when you make this sanctuary, he said, remember I am a holy God.
Yeah.
Remember that I do not, my presence is not going to be where there is sin. My presence is not going to be where there is disorder. My presence is not going to be among the heathen. He says, but it must be in order. It must be made this way. He said, prepare me a place that I can come down here on earth that I might dwell among you. And he said, I want you to bring in the gold. I want you to bring in your most valuables. I want you to bring in your scarlet and your blues and your purples. He said, I want you to make robes. He said, I don't even want people coming into this place in the normal dirty clothes they wear. He said, I want them dressed up. He said, I want them wearing something that's fitting to come into my presence whenever they come into this place. That's what he goes on and he says. He has an order and a structure for the priests that even come in there. Amen.
Yeah.
He says, according to all that I showed thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. He had a pattern and an order for them. He's got a pattern and order for me and you for our lives.
Amen.
Parker, you get some water, please, son. Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter number 8 Hebrews in chapter number 8, the Bible says this, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
Yeah.
Even after all that order and all that structure, he said that it was fallible.
Yeah, amen.
Because man was involved.
Amen.
You know something? One day, if the Lord tarries and he doesn't come back, this building will fall in.
Yeah, amen.
This beautiful building that we're in right now, there'll be mold in this carpet. There'll be mildew on these walls.
Yeah.
Eventually it'll fall in. You say, well, preacher, I hope not. Well, I don't know. I said, if the Lord tarries, it's going to happen. How many buildings you seen that's 500 years old?
Not
many. They ain't many.
Yeah.
There's a few. They ain't many.
Amen.
If the Lord tarries, it's going to happen because man is involved. He says this, he says in verse number 3 of Hebrews 8, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if we here on earth if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the man. He said, see to it that you make all things according to the pattern that I've showed you. And it says, but now in verse number 6, hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So what it's saying there is it says he's the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every priest is ordained. And it is a necessity that Jesus also has something to offer. He offered himself on the cross. Not only was he the perfect sacrifice, better than the lambs and the bullocks and the turtle doves, but also he is a better high priest because he ascended back into the heavens, amen. And the Bible says that if he was still here, we would have no need because they're a priest here according to the law. But it says that they serve as an example of the shadow of heavenly things. It said to Moses that he was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, and even though he made it according exactly to the way that God had said to make it, he was still flesh. But it says that how he obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. You say, how can God make a promise and then make a better promise? If God's God, how can he make a promise that's a better promise? Well, that's because he made a covenant the first time with man.
Yeah.
And that covenant was, if you'll do this, I'll do this. But now God has made a covenant with himself. Amen? Yeah. He didn't say you got to make sacrifices. You do this like I said. He told them how to build the temple. But now he's saying that this is a better temple because God's put it up and not man.
Yeah.
That's what he said. It said that the tabernacle, in a place where the habitation of God is, it said that a minister of the sanctuary, verse 2, and the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. And then we get down here and he says, that now he's explaining that to us. And we get down here to verse 6 and he says, he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, a covenant which was established upon better promises. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm glad that I'm going to say this. Moses was a godly man. Held to Aaron, his brother was with him. He's a godly man. David was a godly man, a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Before that he had even wrote the law, he had a covenant with Abraham. Hey, before Abraham was, he had a covenant with Noah when he put him on that ark, amen.
Yeah.
Before Noah, he had a covenant with Adam as he brought him out of the garden, amen. But I want to tell you this, those covenants could never be as perfect as the one that you and I have, because that covenant was made with man, and man, he is also flesh. And I don't care how good a godly men that they were, just as the tabernacle is better and the true tabernacle was pitched by God, amen, the better covenant was made by God with God, and the better promise was made by God unto God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm going to have to bring a lamb in. When I come in here, the lamb's already been given, the perfect lamb.
Right, amen.
I don't have to come see a priest to atone for my sins. My sins have been paid for.
That's right.
I don't have to. I don't have to go to some man and say, "Oh, help me! I need to get a hold of God. Yeah. I got a child that's sick, or I got a friend, a neighbor that's brokenhearted. I got a friend that don't know the Lord, and I need them to see you, God." I don't have to go to somebody and bring a sacrifice and spill blood on the altar and go through all that process. You go back and you read that in chapter 29 of Exodus, and you go back and read that in Leviticus.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to tell you right now, I don't have to do all that, amen, because I've been given a better covenant the Word of God tells me.
Amen.
It's through Jesus, amen. When he died on that cross that day, over 2,000 years ago, or close to 2,000 years ago, I'm sorry. His bloodshed was enough not only to justify me and make me righteous, but that God would hear my prayers, that I'd be made and seen in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Bible says, verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 8, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
Right.
For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, when the Lord, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, said the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write in them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, say, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith the new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He goes on and continues in chapter 9. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest once alone every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
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 Amen. Do you get what the Word of God's saying here tonight? It said that every year, year by year, they had to do the same thing. They had to follow the ordinances. They had to follow the orders. They had the structures and the patterns that they had to follow. But it was not perfect. But now it's been made perfect. Amen. Said that he entered in once into the Holy of Holies. Amen. And he said his own blood. Amen. And it says that he's given, obtained an eternal redemption for us.
Amen.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling to the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, praise be to God, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Yeah.
How much more shall it purge your conscience? In other words, hey, I'm glad that Jesus was there in the tabernacle of old, amen. He said, I want to have a pattern because this is the place where my holiness is going to be. Hey, this is the place where the glory of God is going to manifest itself. He said, it's got to be made perfect as you can make it. But he said that still yet it wasn't perfect. Why? Because it was built by man, amen. But the Bible said that he's the minister of the true tabernacle, which was set up by God, amen. He didn't go into the Holy of Holies that man had built, which was just a shadow. Meaning it was just a rim.
Yeah.
It said that Jesus entered into the true tabernacle. Praise God.
Yeah.
It said that he laid his blood on the real mercy seat. Amen. The one that no man seen or laid eyes upon, because man is flesh and man cannot see God face to face.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He went in and laid it down there. He said, how much more should his blood also for us purge our conscience of dead works? Think about that. That we may serve the eternal God. To purge it means to clean it out.
Yeah.
Your dead works, the same way he wants you to quit sinning. No, he wants you to quit thinking that your works are justifying you.
Yeah.
He wants you to quit patting yourself on the back. He says you're justified by me. He said this is a more perfect covenant. He said I've tried making covenants with you. He said that don't work. He said you mess it up every time. He said, I made a more perfect covenant. He said, I made a better promise. He said, I made it with myself. He said, I obtained eternal redemption for you, a redemption that don't go away. It don't fade. It don't lose traction over time. It's there forever. He said, I've done it in the real tabernacle, the true tabernacle. I've done it on the true mercy seat with my own blood. He said, I paid for your sin. He said that you may serve the living God. You say, well, preacher, that don't make sense. If I ain't supposed to try to be righteous in order to please God, then how am I ever going to behave myself? Well, I don't know. Go ask the Free Will Baptists and the Methodists and the Catholics and all the rest of them, because they believe that mess. They think that you can lose your salvation. They think that you can, sin away God's grace, and they think that you can mess it up and all this, that, and other, and they live like hell.
Yeah.
Most of them do. They have parties, and they drink, and they're going on all the time, dressing lewdly and acting. I don't see people that believe in eternal security. I don't see people that believe the Bible living that way. Mm. You know what's funny? In Martin Luther's day, back years ago, you ever read about this preacher? How that people, you know, they were worried to death that they were going to die and go to hell because they thought that them Catholic priests held the keys to heaven. Mm-hmm. And they had to please them.
Yeah.
That's what they thought.
Yeah.
So they'd do everything. Yeah. They you know, they thought they had to do it, but yet they lived lawlessly.
Yeah.
But whenever Martin Luther began to read and preach, the just shall live by faith. I don't even think they knew what was going on, but some of them boys and girls is getting saved. And the Holy Ghost is coming in.
Yeah.
And whenever they quit, whenever they started purging their conscience of them dead works, them works that couldn't obtain nothing for them, yeah, they was finally able to live for God. Martin Luther wrote about that. He said, it's a funny thing how that I can preach. He said the Catholic priest preached nonstop to live righteously in order to be righteous. And people live as lawless more and more each day. They live more and more lawless each day. He said, but yet the true word of God to be preached and to let people know that their good works can never justify them, but only the mercy and love and grace of God. And yet somehow being free from the bondage and the law, they now leave the lawlessness and begin to live for God.
Hey.
As far as man's logic goes, that don't make much sense.
Right.
But that's the way it works.
Yeah.
You know why that is? The Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's God working in you. I'm going to tell you right now, friends, I'm going to tell you, I have tried. Oh, gosh, I have tried. Because I want to live, I want to live for God.
Yeah.
I want to live a holy life. And I've tried and I've said, well, if I could just do this more, if I could just do that more. But you know what? All that is my works and my mind keeping on and keeping on. But the minute and the moment that I say, God, I can't do it. Lord, I fail every time. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like then all of a sudden it becomes easier. You know why? Because it's not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Amen. Praise be to God. If you're going to do something for God, it's going to be God who does it. Amen.
Amen.
And you can glorify Him for it. Yeah. He ain't going to give you a chance to go around saying, well, I've done this, right? I got that straightened out. No, He's going to say, I've done it all, praise God.
Yeah.
He wants you to give Him glory. Amen. Not eyes in me, not eyes in you, but that's what He says.
Right.
He Himself takes care of it, don't He?
Yeah.
That's what He wants. He wants honor and glory from us. Amen. Paul goes on to say, and I'm about done here, and I'm in chapter 9. He says this, verse 15, and for this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen?
Yeah.
That inheritance, we was talking about heaven.
Yeah.
Jesus was there in that first tabernacle when the glory of God was manifesting. The Bible says that he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. John tells us that in the beginning was the Word. Amen? Mm-hmm. He was there in the beginning. And in John chapter 1, verse 14, I believe it is, or is it verse 16? It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Greek word there for dwell is tabernacle. Mm-hmm. He made his habitation among us. He said, it's expedient for you that I go. Means he says, it's on to your benefit that I go. For if I go, I will send the comforter. Amen. He said, me just being here beside you. Come here, preacher. Come here. This is the only man here humble enough I can do this with. Mm-hmm. All right, you're Jesus for now. Wouldn't it be good to just have Jesus right here beside you, everywhere you went? He said that's where he was at. He was with him. He's right there beside him. But he said, it's to your benefit if I go. Because if I go, he said, I'll send the comforter. And he will lead you. Wouldn't it be better than just having Jesus beside us? To have Jesus inside us.
Amen.
That's the Holy Ghost. I don't have to have a priest. You sit down, preacher. Thank you. I don't have to have a priest to go to God. He's right here. Amen. Now, like I said, he's a God of order. He's a God of structure. He doesn't want me just... Grace is not an excuse to live lawlessly.
Right.
Amen. Grace is the means by which God inhabits a sinner.
Yeah.
How can a holy God come into this dirty vessel except by grace?
Amen.
By an unchallenged, unconditional love that you and I could never understand. Amen. That's the kind of love that he has for you and I.
Amen.
If we're going to serve God, it's going to be because God works through us to order our lives, to structure our lives. You say, well, preacher, if God's going to do it all, then what part do I play? Obedience in humility. Obedience in humility. To humble yourself and say, God, I want you to take over. I know you're here. I know you're present. I know you hear my prayers. Not because you've done this right and done that right and you didn't do this, that thing, go with it, but because the blood was applied in the true tabernacle. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is there inside of you. You want him to work through you? Listen, you ain't going to have power with God because you do it right, because you don't do the wrong things right, whatever. It's going to be because the Holy Ghost, not little God, not part of God, not a kind of God, God himself is inside of you. And you have access to the power of God through humility. Say, God, I can't do it, and I want to let you do it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Master, would you obey in humility tonight and say, Lord, you work through me. You've tried it your way. I know y'all, God, everybody here has burdens on their heart and things that they've tried to fix in their lives and friends and neighbors and loved ones. And you've got challenges you're presented with. You've got things you want to see happen, things you want to see changed. You've tried so hard. Lay it down. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I can't. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I just want you to work through me. I need you to work through me. If there's going to be any real manifestation of power, it's going to be by him and through him and for him. Can you let go of saying, once this happens, I can say, well, I got that done? Would you just say, God, I want you to be glorified, whatever it takes, Lord. Meet these needs and have your will done. What a good and loving God that we have that would die for us to justify us, that would inhabit the praises of his people, that he would make his habitation my filthy body. My soul was being redeemed. One day he's going to do away with this cursed flesh. I've heard people say they don't like to think about their bodies laying in the grave somewhere, decaying. I say, honestly, it tickles me to death to see this old cursed fleshly body that's caused me more trouble than any man alive finally be put to death and gone away with it and done away with it. I'm going to be given a perfect body, one that's incorruptible, an eternal body. If you belong to him, you will too. That what's inside of me, my soul, has been redeemed. The Bible says, the man speaketh from the abundance of the heart. What kind of actions do you portray? What kind of words do you use? It's easy to tell if they're coming from you or if they're coming from God. As I pray tonight, the Lord spoke to your heart for any reason you want to come this altar. Maybe you just want to come and thank him for loving a sinner like you and saving you. Why don't you come? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, how that it helps us and grows us and challenges us. Lord, you give structure to our lives, Lord, and you've given patterns for us to follow. Help us to be obedient, Lord, that we might just, even though we're broken and you understand that, Lord, that we could never, because of the curse of the flesh, fully fulfill the pattern and design you have for us, our lives. Let us try and do our very best, Lord, to do it exactly as we can, as close as we can according to your will, that we may be blessed, not because that we've done something for you don't need us, but that we'd be blessed because that everything you ask of us is for our own benefit. Lord, we thank you for loving us and using us the way that you do. What a blessing it is to be used by you. Pray, God, you continue to use us and grow us as individuals, Lord, as your children, as a church together. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in every way. Lord, we thank you for the service tonight. We thank you for this tabernacle, a place to come and to meet. Lord, to be able to worship you. Lord, that your praises would be given here, Lord, as we give them. Lord, that we would be met with you here in this place. We thank you for that. We love you. Pray that you meet with us here each time we come in. Lord, in our lives daily, may we seek your face, Lord, always. Lord, we ask these things in the precious and the holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. All hearts and minds are cleared.